Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. And if you want to ask me a dog problem, or more importantly today, if you want to ask a cat problem, talk about a cat behavior you wish would disappear or change, I've got Dusty Rainbolt joining me today, and she wrote Kittens for Dummies, and she can help you with your cat. She also wrote a book I love for multi-cat houses. So you'll have to tune in to find out more about how you can tell the bully from the victim and maybe understanding your cats a little bit better. Call our number if you've got a naughty kitty, 1-888-627-6008 at any time during the show. Welcome to the show, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me again. You know, I just love visiting with you and your listeners.
Well, today we have something a little different. In our first segment, we've got a guest coming on, and it's Norman. Welcome to the show, Norman.
Hi, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
He's going to take us into the toilet, he is. Our friend Norman is coming to us from, do I dare say it, catsofthrones.com. Uh-huh, that's right, Cats of Thrones. You know what throne we're talking about, don't you, Dusty?
I do indeed. I do indeed. The big throne.
Yes. So, Norman, okay, I guess I don't know. I'm trying not to do too many puns here, but how about lay it on us? Give us the scoop on Cats of Thrones, please.
Okay. Well, the great thing I say, I don't have to give you the poop scoop anymore because with our system, there is no more scoop. Okay. Okay, the scoop on us. We are, and I don't just have to be the world's only toilet seat, we are the world's only toilet seat for a cat. And we really separate ourselves from other devices or a lot of homemade devices that are out there because we do, in fact, have a seat that is specifically designed and made for the cat's comfort in mind. We're never trying to get a cat to try to balance himself on the human seat, which is very narrow. Oftentimes it's slippery or it's sloped. And really stresses a cat out, especially when they're doing their poop business. So we've just seen a lot of great results with this. Last year we won first prize at Super Zoo for best new cat product. This year we won at Global Pet Expo at the third prize award for best new cat product. And we're seeing this a lot of people transitioning from a very old, outdated system of using cat litter and going to the toilet.
I do feel guilty about the cat litter in the garbage every week, but I don't know. I mean, I've always thought I've trained other people's cats to use toilets, but it seemed like with the training I had to do, they really did need to be able to designate one toilet, one bathroom that no one else was going to use until the cat was trained. And that's not always easy. Do you have to do that with your system?
Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, that's what makes ours, again, so unique, because we're not asking the cat to share the toilet, or not to be isolated to one toilet. Our seat sits underneath the human seat. So when a person wants to use a toilet, you simply lower the human seat over the top of the cat seat. There's no interference with the human's use. When the human is done, they simply lift the human seat up, and then the cat seat is exposed for the cat to use. Of course, you never want to leave the toilet seat, you know, the toilet lid down, because you're blocking the cat being able to use it, and the door has to always be open. But sometimes you do have to wait for a few seconds. In our household, as soon as we wake up, the cat runs to the bathroom because she wants to be the first in there, but she gets her business done pretty quick and opens it up for us.
What? You're just blowing my mind here. I mean, this is hard to imagine. And I always win the fight about toilet seat down, toilet seat up. I do not like the toilet seat up, but maybe I have to change my mind on that. What do you think, Dusty?
Oh, I have to say I'm a little bit skeptical. How does this work when the kitty begins to age? Because cats can start developing arthritis as early as 4 years old.
Absolutely. No, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Actually, on our website, and through many websites affiliated with us that are using our system, we have some great customers that have sent in their testimonials with along with videos that actually have small step stools. This is like a small footstool, or some people have used telephone books for a cat to walk up very gingerly. And one of our greatest examples is a household that has five cats, and one of the cats of this five-cat household does have arthritis very bad. And she actually took to completely toilet training within 4 weeks. This is the arthritic cat, but she has to use the step stool to get up there. And, you know, as I mentioned, within 4 weeks, even the arthritic cat was done training. And what's really fun to watch this video is you see this arthritic cat walk up there. As she's doing her business, you'll see coming into the picture frame, three of the other cats in the household will sit down there, and they sit there and watch her as she does her business. And there was one thing I want to mention. Earlier you mentioned about the you know, throwing the cat litter away and one of the concerns you have with that. A lot of people don't recognize this as a double impact on the earth. Most people just think that cat litter has a bad impact because you're throwing it away and it goes into our landfills, which that does make up 9 million tons of cat litter that goes into landfills. But what they also don't realize is that every year, up to 150,000 to 200,000 acres of land, or when you convert that, that's 450 square miles of land, is strip mined to produce clay cat litter, which still makes up about 8% of the industry. So that's a double impact on the earth that can be avoided very quickly.
Well, doesn't your system use cat litter in the little tray that would be seated under the uplifted seat that I would sit on?
Another great question. Our system uses dissolving cat litter. Okay, it is not any kind of traditional cat litter. Like, it's not a clay-based. It's not an organic corn-based or mineral or paper-based product. It's actually dissolving cat litter that's used to help transition the cat. It has the same texture and consistency as traditional cat litter, and it's designed to help the cat be taken from an environment that they're already familiar with and slowly and gradually wean them off of the cat litter. So we're not doing this like in a 1-2-3 stage system. We're doing it very gradually.
So eventually they have no cat litter at all? They're just... Peeing into the bowl and defecating, pooping into the bowl? That's exactly it.
That's exactly it.
So it's almost like a little place for them to stand in a position that suits them and is more comfortable in that opening.
Correct.
Like a diving board sort of thing, a platform.
There's a platform on both the left and right side of that's recessed towards the back. Which again allows for the when a person wants to use a toilet to put the human seat down, these platforms don't interfere with the human's legs, but the platforms are large enough and wide enough for even a cat up to 30 pounds. We have a Lynx Point Siamese, and she's a good hefty 28 pounds with no problem standing on the platform.
Norman, we have to go to a break, so I'd like you to come back after the segment with Dusty and I, and maybe Dusty has a question or two for you. I sure do. Can you stay with us a little longer? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, so Dusty, are you good? Are you cozy and comfy with the cat on your lap over there?
As a matter of fact, I do. I have my three-legged cat on my lap, and I'm a happy camper, so we're good.
Oh, very nice. See, I'd like to see your three-legged try and use the toilet. Okay, well, we'll be back. Well, maybe I wouldn't like to see it. That's the YouTube video you don't want to see. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back in a moment with Deb Wolf and Dusty Rainbolt. Stay tuned.
And anytime you're near,
hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924. Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And Dusty, you may have a three-legged cat sitting on your lap. I have a three-legged dog at my kennel right now. How often does that happen?
I don't know, but I actually have three-legged cats. So between the three of them, they have 12 legs.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about that after we're finished talking about Cats of Thrones. Don't let me forget, because I think a lot of people would think, you know, when their vet tells them, hey, this dog, this cat needs to lose a leg, they would think, okay, then put it down. And that's not always the right decision. Buddy, the big black shepherd lab cross that's at the kennel right now, I mean, he's huge. He's a big dog, 75 pounds at least. He does just fine with the group. And you would think, oh, small dogs would get along better. It's a little less awkward with the small dogs, but Buddy doesn't care about grace. He just cares about having a good time. So we'll talk about that a little later. Now we're talking about Cats of Thrones. And speaking of grace, I don't think it would be so graceful seeing a three-legged cat try and get up there. But I don't know. Maybe your cats could do it. What do you think, Norman? Is it okay for the disabled?
Okay, well, actually, I've never honestly been posed that question. Okay, I have had no problem with the with the arthritic cat. I have not actually had an issue yet with an amputee at this point. I would be cautioned to say, obviously, you would want to watch it and monitor and see how the cat is. I mean, if they can still balance very well, and if they're still able to jump, like if a cat can jump up to your lap, or if they still do their actual, you know, jumping activities, that'll be fine. But I really want to, if someone is going to come to me and say they have a three-legged cat, I would want to be personally involved to monitor the progress. So that's the best answer I can give you.
How much does it cost, this cat of this, do you call it a cat of throne or a throne cat? What do you call it?
Yeah, the product is actually called Cats of Thrones, Toilet Seat for Cats. And it is, we're selling on Amazon for $75. We have lowered our price through this weekend because we're also going to be on Fox and Friends this weekend. And we lowered our price down to $29.95, which is the starter kit. It only comes with 1.5 pounds of cat litter, of dissolving cat litter. And you can buy an additional bag of a 12-pound bag of cat litter for another $25. Now, the trick here is, though, you'll never have to buy cat litter from us again. So we're not into this to have you buy more and more cat litter from us. Typically, with 1 to 3 cats, you can get by with 1 to 2 bags of our dissolving cat litter and never buy it from us again.
I almost think in a busy house with a lot of kids, you might even take the toilet seat lid off so they don't accidentally leave it shut, locking Kitty out of the bathroom.
Yeah, I would actually recommend that. And there's a lot of education you have to do around the house. You know, you have to let people know, hey, don't close the door during the training process. You want to make sure it's a very clean environment. Always spraying up any excess urine or anything that might have been missed during the training process. See, the goal with our system and what makes it so unique is because we do eliminate all the odor. Every cat litter company in the world is going to say that, you know, we eliminate odor, but really, if you think about it, when you go to PetSmart or Petco or any of these, you know, big chains, you see a 75-foot-long, 6-foot-high aisle of cat litter. And that's because they're all different fragrances, consistencies, chemicals, non-chemical, organic, or whatnot. And that's all to try to pacify the cat's sense of smell. Because what cats are trying to do is they're trying to get rid of odor. And here we are introducing new odors to their senses. And we all know, we've all experienced that some cats just absolutely have an adverse reaction to one cat litter or another. Our cat litter is 100% odorless. So when the cat uses the toilet, when it drains through our dissolving litter, through our drain going in the toilet, there's no odor left behind, which is what the cat is trying to accomplish in the first place.
What do you think about that, Dusty? Do you think this could work?
Well, I can see that there would be situations where this might be a good idea, especially if you have somebody with maybe autoimmune disease and they shouldn't be handling cat waste, or if elderly people who it would be difficult for them to scoop. I do have some concerns. How do you keep track of how often your cat pees or poops? Do you recommend this for kitties with health problems?
Well, again, there's a couple of solutions for that. Obviously, you can still monitor how when they pee and poop. You just can't actually collect specimens if it's, you know, if it's going into the water.
How do you know how many times a day a cat pees?
You cannot monitor the frequency as of yet. We are actually upgrading some systems here to be available in the next year or so, but for the most part, I'm doing a very generalized statement. I would say not all cat owners are constantly, you know, monitoring how frequently they're peeing or pooping. I understand there's a need for that if the cat has health issues and the veterinarian says, you know, monitor their frequency and whatnot. And there is still a way of doing that, but this would be more complicated, which would be to stay on stage one, which would be not removing any of the rings, and you can still collect the fecal matter. Urine will still pass through, but you can actually collect the crystals, which will be doused in the urine, and that can be collected for a specimen to the veterinarian as well. But again, we're talking about more general, I'd say the majority of cat owners, not the minority. There's always going to be certain conditions that are going to affect cats or cat owners differently.
So I see from your website that you have another invention. Would you like to tell us about that, Norman?
That would be DeRevo's pet collars. Yep, this is actually a prototype right now. We're looking to open that up here this year at Super Zoo, if we can get it out there in time. DeRevo's pet collar is a all-natural pet collar for dogs and cats that's made out of cedar wood. And why cedar wood? Well, many of you may recall back in the day how closets and drawers used to be made out of cedar to keep moths and other insects out. Well, it just so happens that cedar, if you look at a lot of chemicals that are out there in the markets, cedar is used in a lot of flea and tick and mosquito fighting properties. And our collars actually now have been proven with the EPA to kill and repel fleas and ticks naturally. No poisons, no chemicals, and it has a beautiful jewelry-like look to them, basically like the same kind of look as a fashionable watch or a wristband would have.
I know they make a lot of dog beds out of cedar. I don't know if cats would be happy with that. Do cats like the smell of cedar, Dusty?
Not a very strong smell. We have to have a much more mild odor of the cedar collar for cats because they are more sensitive to the cedar smell. But a mild form is okay for the cats.
So if you're listening today and you want to take a look at these toilet seats for cats, go to Cats of Thrones. And thank you so much for joining us today, Norman.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the time and look forward to talking to you guys again later.
Well, yeah, and if people are thinking of getting this, if you've been wanting to train your cat with the Saran Wrap method, this would be a lot cleaner and a lot easier. And for this limited time offer, it's less than half price. So if you're on the fence, now's the time to go for it. Thanks very much for joining us. And we'll be back in the next segment with Dusty Rainbow. We're going to talk about three-legged animals. And I'm going to ask her, is my pastime, my latest pastime, a spring pastime, is it cruel or is it kind? Okay, stay tuned. This is Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And
you know that
I really
do.
Scratch it.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Did you know that our dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do? Now, veterinarian dermatologist Dr. Christian has formulated Doggy Goo. Doggy Goo is a peanut butter treat for your dog. But Doggy Goo also sublingually builds tolerance to 10 pollens, 2 mites, and 3 molds 100% naturally. Try Doggy Goo. Your dog will Doggy Goo lick it up. Call 855-246-2426. The number again is 855-246-2426. Or on the web, www.healthygoo.com. Goo spelled G-O-O.
Scratch it.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, your host, calling from Camp Good Dog. But to be fair, I must say, I do have 6 cats, all of them rescue, so I can talk about cats and dogs, and I've been training both for years. But today, as my guest, we've got Dusty Rainbolt, cat trainer and cat behavioralist extraordinaire. We are very graced to have her with us on the show tonight, and I'm going to ask her an ethical question, mildly ethical question, because either way, I'm not changing what I do. But I have to ask you, is it cruel or is it kind, Dusty? Are you ready for this one?
Uh-huh, I am. are we talking about losing the leg?
No, we're talking about something much lighter. I put hummingbird feeders up every year this time of year. They've been up for a month already. And they're on the glass windows of the house. And the hummingbirds, they come in and they drink their nectar and they sort of cock their heads up and fight with each other and do these aerial battles. And sometimes they spray the window with the sugar water. And it's a big display of colorful wings and flashing beaks. And they make a chirping noise that's almost metallic, as well as the whirring noise of their wings. And every year, I almost get as much pleasure from watching the hummingbirds as I do from watching my cats have no chance at all as they try to catch the hummingbirds. Now, is that not nice? Or, I mean, they look like slow motion buffoons comparatively, and yet they're so much quicker than we are. But really, I mean, there's no chance. They're behind the play big time.
Well, I set it up so my cats can watch the birds from the inside of the house as well. So I don't think it's cruel. It really depends on the cat, though. Now, you're talking inside kitties, right?
Yeah. No, they're outside kitties.
Oh, outside kitties. Oh.
Yeah, wow. Sometimes, I mean, they try from the inside, they try from the outside, they try from hiding spots, they try every which way, they try blatant jumps in the air, I mean, but they're no, not even close. Like, it's so funny. I mean, they just, the bird is so, he's 40 feet away somewhere by the time they make their move, you know?
And so, isn't it funny to watch an animal that can make our cats look clumsy? I mean, it's just hilarious. I'd love to see that. Have you posted that video?
Year, you know, even the oldest one, I have this ancient cat, and even she will fall for it for a little while in the spring, sit under the cat, you know, the couch where the feeder is on the other side of the glass, and you'll see her click, click a little bit. Like, even she still falls for it. The younger the cat, the longer it takes them to give up. And by the end of the season, they won't even look. They don't even want to see it. They're just like, I can't even look at that one more time. It's
poor
killing
kitties.
Me.
Poor
yeah.
kitties.
Well, but you get to see their prey drive, and it's pretty interesting, I find. The noises they make, the way they hunt. It's interesting without anybody getting hurt.
Of course.
So we have another guest, and we're going to start this segment right away with Jim Nelson. Welcome to the show, Jim. I understand you're from Tripods Community. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. So I understand this has something to do with cancer and pets and amputation for pets, which we by accident started talking about earlier today because Dusty mentioned in the first segment that she has a 3-legged cat sitting in her lap. And I told her that I actually, at my boarding kennel, Camp Good Dog, I actually right now have a 3-legged dog staying with us. So we were going to have a little chat about whether, you know, some people really think when the vet tells them their animal has to lose a limb that it's time to put the animal down. But some people make a different decision, and we see animals that have a great quality of life. So it's great to have you coming to the show right now. It just fits in beautifully, Joe.
Well, that's fantastic, because that's what we're all about. We're about helping those people make those decisions.
Oh, really? Okay, so it's Tripods Community, Tripawds Community. What's it all about, Jim?
Yeah, so the tripods.com, that's with a paw, P-A-W-D-S, like you said. Tripods is the largest online community for three-legged pets and their people. Our mission at Tripods is basically to provide, you know, quality information, resources, and a platform for discussion about recovery and care for animals faced with amputation. The community itself, we host more than 800 blogs where people share photos and stories about their three-legged dogs and cats, loving life on three legs, with treatment plans and recovery results and success stories. In our discussion forums, we have a live chat room where people tend together and greet new members and offer support to each other. But we really have a vast amount of resources available to help these people make those decisions. We've got information and reading lists and ebooks, photo galleries so people know what to expect when they see their animal missing a leg, videos about, you know, dogs swimming and cats jumping, podcasts and all sorts of stuff.
You know what? I want to just open this up to Dusty, because Dusty also mentioned earlier she has three cats like this, I believe, with nine paws altogether. So, Dusty, do you want to join the conversation with Jim?
I would love to, and I'm so happy to hear that there's an organization like this. I remember my first kitty, who was sitting beside me a few minutes ago, her name is Peg, and she came to me. Somebody had thrown her from a car. She apparently landed on one leg, and it was totally shattered. And 8 days later, by the time I got her, the nerves were dead. And I took her to the vet, and he said, it's going to have to come off, no problem. And I'm like, oh, no, poor kitty. And he said, oh, you know what? You will be shocked at how well they get along. He amputated. 2 days later, she came home, and she simply woke up and then tried to figure out, how do I get around? They don't have to worry about what the kids are going to say, being teased or anything. They just figure out the best way to get along now, and they live in the present. They don't live in the past. And if you're ever in a position where the animal, where you have to make that unfortunate decision, it's really not a big deal to the animal. It's much harder on us.
That is so true. They really just do adapt, and the vast majority do better than the people. And while Tripod started as kind of a dog community, we have a growing number of what we like to call Tri-Kitties, and we have dozens of members sharing their stories about their three-legged cats in the blogs.
You know, I've seen for years these things for aging dogs, canine carts, these sort of wheelchair-type things for dogs. And I've seen over the years loads of different dogs and cats missing one leg or another. It used to be said that it was easier on smaller animals. It used to be said that it was easier if it was a front leg, not a back leg. Is any of that true still?
Yes and no. My short answer for that is that every single animal is different, and the age and weight can definitely have a result on the recovery. But, you know, you mentioned front leggers. Our Jerry, the reason we founded the site, lost a front leg. We currently have Wyatt, who lost a rear leg. But dogs carry, you know, 70% of their weight up front. So a front leg recovery can actually be more difficult. But they're going to have different scenarios. A front legger is going to have a harder time going downstairs, when a rear legger is going to have a harder time going up. You know, the majority of dogs and the growing number of cats, they lose a limb to cancer. But regardless of the reason, amputation is really a difficult decision and can be traumatic on the pet parent. But like we've kind of said so far, is that the dogs and cats adapt quickly, and it's really kind of harder on the people. And that's what we're there for.
Well, in the dog world, I have the issue where the dog who walks funny, and that's how the other dogs interpret it, or seems weaker, can often be not just picked on, like what Dusty was talking about, where the, you know, the person who loses a leg has to face their friends at school if it's a kid. Mm-hmm. But the dog has to get, at the dog park, he can be put in a position where he's victimized a lot. Do you have those issues with your three-legged
dogs? Yes.
Because we have to really watch who we put him with and how we introduce him. They have to get to know that this this gait of his that is more up and down than most dogs is mm-hmm. not him trying to dominate them or pick a fight with them. They're misunderstanding if they think that. That's just how he moves. You know, because it can trigger things because his body language isn't quite right.
It's different, yes. And that's why it's really up to people to understand these things and monitor these things, because the animals won't do that by themselves. They're pack creatures, and they're going to react to things in certain ways. So it's really up to the people to do their homework and understand issues like this and how they need to be addressed. And we talk about pack behavior, and we have lots of people who have brought their amputee pet back home, and other dogs have taken advantage of that weakness, whereas other people mention it being no problem, and other dogs will actually take on the motherly type of thing and help with recovery and make sure that dog's protected. So it's really, every case is always different.
Well, and I imagine more than anything, it's the personality of the dog or the cat that makes the difference, their determination. Dusty, you have two others. Can you tell us a little bit about their stories?
Yes, let's see. The next one we got, his name is Lego, which is short for Where'd My Lego? And when he was just a tiny kitten, he had gotten up inside somebody's engine, and he lost his paw to, or his leg to a chain belt. And it was very cute because the animal control officer brought him to the vet, and as they, as you hear in the first aid classes, human first aid classes, he brought the severed limb. Of course, they weren't able to reattach it. In his case, it's a little more complicated because shortly after his surgery, he contracted panleukopenia, feline distemper. So God bless him. Not only is he missing a front leg, but he also has suffered some neurological damage. So he doesn't, he's like a CH kitty. He doesn't go anywhere in a straight line, whereas our other tripods are very coordinated and very fast, very graceful. But he just kind of, he never goes any place in a straight line.
Like a drunken kitty. He's wiggling around the room. Oh, my goodness. Your house is full of personality. Okay, who's number three? Before we run out of time in this segment, we got to introduce number three or she'll have her nose out of joint, no doubt.
Absolutely. A little silver Maine Coon mix named Sterling. She was found in a lady's garage. We trapped her. Turned out she was actually very social. And I found something that felt like a big gray tick. Well, it turned out it was a bone infection, and she had a self-healed compound fracture. We had to get her over the infection, and 6 months later, we wound up having to take the leg. Again, no problem. Our guys can go out in the backyard and climb trees because we've got a cat fence. They can do, with the exception of Lego, they can do anything the others can do.
Oh, but the good news is okay, you know what, Dusty? We're going to go into the next segment. We're coming to the break. I can't believe you called them these names, Where'd My Lego? That's just terrible. Okay, I guess you have to have a sense of humor, though. And I once knew a dog named Taxi, which made me stand in the forest yelling, Taxi, like a total idiot. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back with Jim Nelson. We'll be talking more about three-legged dogs and cats with Dusty Rainbolt and me, Deb Wolf, on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
Anytime you're near, I
love you. NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial. No sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I was talking a little bit about how you have to train your three-legged dog or your other dogs to get along with the three-legged dog. And when you're with your three-legged dog, you sometimes have to watch what's going on at the park. Are these dogs mellow and controlled and listening well? You don't want to put him in a situation where he might be misunderstood or just picked on because he's weaker. It's easy to knock him down. But there's something else I want to talk about just before we talk to our guests again, and it's Jim Nelson and Dusty Rainbolt, and that is a lot of times when you're going through a divorce or something bad is happening with you, somebody died, and you look at the pet and you think to yourself, oh, you know, Candy or Teddy or Fifi is missing that person so much. And every time you look at that animal, you think about the grief and the loss. You know, it's not surprising the animal reflects it back to you. Sometimes that animal is so depressed, and rightly so. They really are missing that person who died or got divorced or left the household, the kid who went off to college. They really are sad about it. But you projecting that on them and reflecting it and reminiscing and kind of wallowing in it with them makes them think it's their job, and they're just kind of drowning in it. You might notice your dog or cat that seems so depressed perks up when someone else visits, someone who didn't know that person so well visits, and all of a sudden it's like a different dog or cat. I think the same thing happens with the three-legged phenomenon. We are so sad about it that we look at our dog or our cat and we think, oh, poor Rover, you're missing your leg. And he being so empathetic and in love with you, he reflects that right back at you. Whereas if you say, hey, Rover, you're alive today. We beat cancer. Let's go for a walk. You're going to get a different response. So I want to open this up. We're talking with Jim Nelson at Tripods Community, and we're talking with Dusty Rainbolt, owner of 3 three-legged cats. I only discovered that this morning. And Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So, Jim, what do you think about what I just said?
I actually am so glad you brought that up, because it's one of the most important things we try to stress when people find us. Our dogs and cats turn to us. And, you know, they're just going to adapt. They're incredibly resilient creatures. They're going to wake up without a limb and say, okay, I need to live, and I need to eat, and I need to make the most out of life. But the people who have the biggest problems and you know, are really distressed about it, those are the most difficult recoveries we hear from. And people often, you know, I freaked out when it happened with our dog, Jerry, and we were definitely stressed out, but we learned that they follow our lead. And it's, you know, people often want to sleep on the floor with their dog and cater to them and, you know, just run to their side every time they whimper. And these are the most difficult recoveries we hear from. And it's why we have forums and chat rooms where you can come and cry with others who understand, but don't cry in front of your dog. We tell people, please, you know, try to focus on healing the body and be a strong, balanced pack leader, because that's really all they need. If you want life to be normal again, you really got to act as though life is normal.
Dusty, does this translate over to cats the same way?
I don't know if it does or not. My experience and what my vet told me seems to carry through to everybody I know that has tripods. Cats just seem to move on. Well, like he said, it is the people, and I really encourage people, just, you know what, ignore it. Don't pay any attention to it. Unless you have somebody extraordinary like Lego, who has a secondary handicap, you know, they can jump up on things, they can climb, they can run. I tell you what, with the exception of Lego, I cannot catch my three-legged cats. I challenge anybody to be able to catch them when they don't want to be caught. So,
see, now I'm glad you qualified that, because I was about to say, oh, I'll come catch your cats, but don't want to be caught. That doesn't count, does it?
When they don't, it's like, well, and the interesting thing with Sterling, the one that had the bone infection, she was about 8 months old when we finally went ahead. I talked to the vet into amputating the leg. I was all for taking it off the first day, and the vet wanted to see if we could save it. But anyway, she had to remain on medication for so many months. And so we had the constant every day giving her antibiotics and this and that and painkillers. And she was not well socialized at all. Once we got rid of the leg and she wasn't having to be tortured every day just to survive, she actually became a very happy social animal.
You can understand that, right? If every time humans dealt with you, they poked you or prodded you or made you swallow something nasty, you wouldn't like them very much. It hurts, right? Pain, I think people underestimate pain. And maybe you can comment on this, Jim. I bet you some of these dogs and cats, when the sick leg is removed, it's like they're young again because we didn't realize how bad it was.
Well, it's true. It's because the pain is gone, and in the vast majority of cases, except for traumatic injuries that are sudden, the dog or cat has already been three-legged for up to a couple of months or longer at a time because they've been limping around. And that's why we like to tell people, you know, it's better to hop on three legs than to limp on four, because you're not getting rid of the leg. You're getting rid of the pain.
Very well put.
It's hard for us aesthetically. It's sort of like the difference in humans with hearing aids and glasses. For some reason, it's really easy to get your grandma to go for eyeglasses. It's really hard to get her to go for a hearing aid. There's these certain things that we just can't deal with. And I think this is one of them. Three-legged pets is hard for us to look at. Do you find, Jim, that people look away from your dog?
Actually, we find that in most cases, they don't even notice. Or they will, there's two cases. In most times, because both of our dogs, we focus on keeping them fit and healthy, and either people don't notice, or I've actually been approached from across the street where someone very concerned will come up and say, your dog's limping. I say, just take a closer look, and then they're kind of dumbfounded. You know, they saw the gait, which is clearly different, but it wasn't a limp. It's just an adjusted gait.
Yes. Oh, amazing. What do you want people, Jim, who are dealing with this, what would you like them to know if they're faced with amputation for their pets?
There's so much. It really can be overwhelming, but my best advice that I always tell people is, you know, be more dog or be more cat. And by that, I mean, don't panic. Pets don't know they have cancer. They don't know why they're losing a leg. They only want to feel better. They're incredibly resilient creatures, and that's why we say they're born with three legs and a spare. But besides that, I'd want them to know that they're not alone. And there's plenty of other people out there, and there's plenty of support available for them, and success stories and not so good stories, and that every dog is different, but they can find this information at tripods.com and find others who are willing to understand them.
Well, can I say something real quick?
Well, you know what? I think I'm going to have to make you save it. Yes, you're going to have to save it for the final segment. We're going to say goodbye to Jim. Thank you for joining us, Jim. I think he'll be listening, though. Was it something you wanted to say to him or to the listeners?
Oh, no. It was just another thing about tripods, but go ahead and go to break.
Oh, now I feel bad. We only have 60 seconds left, though. It's one of those judgment calls I have to make easy compared to when you get told this bad news from your vet. And I think, you know what, Jim, if you can hang in there, will you come back after the break and we'll talk a little bit more? Because I think we've got a couple more things to say on this. People still get faced with this all the time, and it's such a hard decision. So stay tuned, everybody. We'll talk a little more about this, and we'll talk with Dusty Rainbolt and me, Deb Wolf. And if you want more of me, I'm at DeborahWolfOnline.com, so check that out. If you want to see the dogs at Camp Good Dog, including three-legged buddy, because I didn't just make that up. No, he's here. Check out Camp Good Dog on Facebook. You'll see him. Okay, so stay tuned. We'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Hello! You're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're talking about three-legged pets, which I did not expect until right before we came on air today. And by chance, Dusty Rainbolt, our cat expert, author of many cat books, happens to have three-legged cats, and I happen to be taking care of a three-legged dog, and we are talking with Jim Nelson from Tripods Foundation. So I know it's free to join. What would people get out of joining, Jim? Why should they check you out? I know this is a really hard thing for people to take, and most of your friends aren't going to get it at all. They might even give you bad advice. So what do you want people to know about your organization?
Well, there's a wealth of information available that anyone can see at Tripods. That's what we're all about. We want to make it free, and we have podcasts and all sorts of information available in forums that people can participate in. But we do have membership, and membership is free, and members get all sorts of benefits because they can start a free blog of their own where they can share their photos and their videos and their treatment plans and their results, because that's what we want to do. We want to get as many different kinds of cancers and different reasons for amputation and front legs and back legs and multiple legs so that people have somewhere to turn for all of these different types of cases. So members can have a free blog. Members also can access the live chat room where people are often joining every evening to, you know, console each other and point each other in the best direction for information. And the forums also have benefits for membership. There's private messaging and things that don't need approval and things like that. But you mentioned the foundation, and that's our big news lately. If you don't mind, I'd love to just tell you what that's all about.
Oh, yeah, please. And I know you have something coming up in May, and I know Dusty has something to tell you. So we're all set. Love to hear about it. The Tripods Foundation.
Oh, fantastic. Because May is Pet Cancer Awareness Month. And, you know, the majority of our members are dealing with some sort of cancer for their dog or cat. And cancer was the whole reason we started the site. And over the years, we've hosted what we call tripod parties around the country. But this time, we've teamed up with Greyhounds Rock in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And they're another great organization raising awareness and funds for canine cancer. So on May 23rd and 24th, in Fredericksburg, Virginia, we're going to have a number of activities planned. We're going to have a hoppy hour at a local winery. So the first day, people can bring their dogs and hop around and meet the members they've met online. And then Saturday, this is Memorial Day weekend, the main event will have informative presentations by vets, by canine rehab experts. We're going to have a scavenger hunt for dogs and a memorial bonfire in the evening to kind of honor those pets that we've lost. And this is going to be a kind of a fundraiser in teaming up with Greyhounds Rock and the new Tripods Foundation, which we just launched last year after kind of, you know, doing this public benefit resource for 8 years now. We've launched the foundation at tripods.org to make sure this information remains online and available for free for anyone who needs it.
Okay, so Dusty, I know you had something to say before the break. Take it away, Dusty.
All right, kick it away. I love that. Well, I just wanted to remind people, you know, I'm not minimizing anything. You know, people, when I said that they're cats and dogs are not like people, I mean, when people lose a limb, whether it's an arm or a leg, it really is problematic. I mean, when you have two arms and you lose half of what you have, or two legs and you are reduced to one, that truly is a problematic thing. And because people have such a hard time functioning, and thank God for new prosthetics, because, you know, that's with the miracle of those.
And so many things animals don't do, though, like writing,
right,
and driving, and
right,
fastening clothes and dressing children, and things that animals don't really suffer the same loss of use the same way,
exactly,
for the same skills, right?
Exactly my point. So, you know, with as my vet said, that fourth leg in an animal is a redundancy. So, you know, just go ahead and relieve the animal of his pain. Don't put him to sleep. Let him lose the leg. And one more thing, a little public relations for three-legged cats. I do have three of them, and they don't tend to get on the, they've never gotten on the counter, and they've never gotten on the table. So if you are really anal about that, get a three-legged cat.
Well, do you know what? Is this something? Like, I often recommend people, if you don't have a preference for color, then go adopt, go rescue a black cat or a black dog, because
okay,
they're so much less likely to get a home. They just don't photograph as well. They don't look as friendly in the cage, but they're just as good. In fact, you can get a better dog because nobody's looking at the black ones. But is this the same for, are there three-legged dogs and cats that actually need homes?
So this is the reason that we've actually created the Tripod Rescue Forum in our discussion forums, because oftentimes people would look over those dogs, or the rescues get the animal that needs the amputation and goes forward with that and pays for that themselves, but then there's an animal that looks, to some people, gruesome, because it is, you know, there's a large scar and people think, oh, I don't want a three-legged dog. So we offer a forum where people can share tripod rescue stories or get on social media at hashtag tripod rescue and help get those pets adopted. But more and more, we're actually finding people turning to us looking for one, especially in the case once someone has had a three-legged animal, there's a bond that is just stronger than anything that ever happens, especially if you're the one that helps the pet recover. If you lose your dog like we did when we lost our Jerry, there was no going back to four legs. We needed to rescue another three-legged animal.
Oh, that's interesting you'd say that. I think anytime you take an animal that really, really needs you, you get a deeper, stronger, will die for you. If you're ever in danger, that kind of loyalty you get, especially from dogs you rescue, if they, as opposed to the puppy you raise that's never known a hungry day in its life, still very loyal to you, but it doesn't know what it's like to be hungry, to be unloved, to be homeless, this kind of thing. And I think that's what you're tapping into, that gratitude, where they really, really know what it's like to not have a human backing them in this world. But I think with the three-leggeds, it's really interesting that you say that. I wouldn't have expected that at all, that it would be so focused on that. I often find people get the wrong kind of dog. They'll be so set on getting a Jack Russell or a Doberman, for example, a Pointer, a Dalmatian, very active, high-energy, athletic dogs. And I'll try and talk them into an older version. You know, why don't you rescue a senior? I mean, you're not an athletic family. You don't run and train, and you're not going to take the dog running every day. A 7-year-old Jack Russell would be perfect for you. So I think the three-legged niche is there, right there, isn't it?
It's so true. And the one thing about our members is that they are incredibly passionate about providing the best possible quality of care for their animals. They want the best quality of life, and that's why they go to the lengths they do, you know, to remove a limb to save its life or to improve its quality of life. And there's a bond that forms that is just incredible. So anyone interested in that bond, I highly recommend the PBS documentary, Why We Love Cats and Dogs. It first came out in 2009.
Oh, yeah, it's really good.
Our story, my wife Renee and I, and the lengths we went to with Jerry, as you know, the crazy dog people that sold everything and bought an RV to travel the country with their dog after he got cancer. But there's also a whole other half of the story about the animal, the cat.
The ongoing half. And you know what, Jim? We've completely run out of time today. Dusty, I've got to give you a chance to say goodbye to the audience.
Goodbye.
No, bigger chance than that. Where can they find more about you, Dusty?
Well, they can go to dustycatwriter.com. They can buy my book, Cat Wrangling Made Easy, on Amazon. They can also
get Kittens for Dummies. I highly recommend that. If you have more than one cat, go for Cat Wrangling Made Easy. It's one of my favorites. Thank you so much, Dusty. And thank you very much, Jim. We're clear out of time. From everyone at All Paws Pet Talk Radio, until next week, from me, Deb Wolf, and Camp Good Dog, and DeborahWolfOnline.com, but mostly from Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, be good to your animals.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you.
I'm